Welcome to Hour 2 of Wildcat Insider, and Hour 2 of 3, basically, a pregame coverage of K-State and Kansas before we hand things off to the network pregame at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock for the tip time tonight on Big Monday between the Cats and the Jayhawks. I've got Tyler Dreiling with me here for the second hour. Appreciate Wyatt Thompson for coming on the last two segments of Hour 1. If you missed any of that, you'll have to catch it on the podcast page, newsradiokman.com, and the On Demand tab. In Hour 2, pretty fun Hour 2 coming up for you. Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks at 525 on how much the off-the-court issues are affecting Kansas on the court. That obviously is something that could help K-State out tonight, potentially. And then we are scheduled to be joined by Marlins man in studio at 540, who's going to be in attendance tonight at Bramlage. You see him in the bright orange Marlins gear across the country at tons of big-time sporting events. As always, you can chime in on Twitter, the game KMAN, if you want to do that, or give us a call, 537-1350, 866-776-1350. A lot more exciting to be sitting here on Monday talking about this game against Kansas coming off the victory over Baylor over the weekend. I was worried that, maybe worried's the wrong word, but there was so much backlash from the first matchup between these two teams, and it looked like at the time that K-State was going to be, you know, certainly an NCAA tournament-type team, probably in the top four, maybe five of the Big 12. Then the TCU loss happened, and I thought, man, we're going to lose all the juice that we could have had for this rematch with Kansas after the Svi travel, how close K-State was in that game. All the off-the-court stuff with Kansas, I'm sure, is going to work its way somehow into the student section tonight. Now we do get that excitement, I think, by virtue of K-State beating Baylor, and that was sort of the tone of the open of the show here earlier today, but I've got something else to add in here that's going to make you at least a little bit fired up, Tyler, and potentially a lot of those listening at home. You ready for this?
Sure.
Did you get a chance to read it
no,
at all?
No, I have not
seen it. You didn't cheat?
Nope.
Okay. So here's this. Tyler Self, Bill Self's kid, who was one in the immediate aftermath of the game in Lawrence, who tweeted like, hey, Svi had 15 rushing yards and a game winner or whatever, like sort of rubbing salt in the wound. He just posted on Instagram that it says, I'll just read it direct quote here. Tyler Self, today not only marks the last Sunflower showdown of my career, but also the last day I will ever come to Manhattan. Hashtag KUBball. Hashtag LFK is the GOAT. Hashtag K-State smells. Hashtag little kids chant the F word. Hashtag their parents make them. Huh? That add a little fire to you?
I mean, it's nothing that you don't see from KU fans all the time. It's a little bit different coming from a player, but one that's going to be riding the pine tonight. You know, he may say it's his last Sunflower Showdown game, but how many of those has he actually played in his career? I would say maybe like one, you know, a blowout in Lawrence maybe.
I bet he's played in a couple blowouts in Lawrence.
I don't think that he has ever set foot on the court at Bramlage Coliseum in a game. So that would be my response.
Well, if he could play the post, they might be able to use him.
Yeah.
Although Carlton Bragg, if you're just joining us, is going to be back and suited up tonight for Kansas after a three-game suspension. Are you with me that the win over Baylor was important for so many things other than just the simple math of like, hey, this is a big win for your tournament chances. It gets you a road win at a top-five team, helps the RPI. And today in the projections, they are a 10 seed by both CBS and ESPN. I mean, to me, it's about setting up hope that you can win this game and just hope that even if you do lose the next two games and come out at 5-7 in the league, that you have enough positive momentum still and good vibes to feel like you can take care of some of those more manageable games on the back half of your schedule.
Right. I mean, we've looked at the schedule and those last six are all pretty winnable, but a lot of them are losable as well. But overall, you're just going to say it's a favorable portion of your schedule. And a win tonight would be huge for K-State, not only because it would be yet another marquee win, which you could add to a list of, I mean, you could basically say four marquee wins if you want to say that beating Oklahoma State on the road from an RPI perspective deserves to be in that conversation as well. But what it does is it means that you can lose at West Virginia, and then over your last six, all you have to do is go 3-3 to feel really good about your tournament chances instead of 4-2. There is a huge difference between those two, especially since three of those games are on the road, and I think that K-State would be positioning themselves. They wouldn't be an NCAA tournament lock with a win tonight, but they'd be closer to lock status than being off of or being out of the tournament, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get into minutiae of the numbers, we've been setting the bar at basically 9 wins, especially now with Baylor and West Virginia under your belt, and Oklahoma State, really. with the quality of those wins, if you get to 9 in the league, you're going to be in the NCAA tournament. So right now you sit at 5. If you win tonight, you get to 6, then you just have to win 3 games left when you've still got Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Texas Tech coming to Bramlage, and you have road trips to Oklahoma, Texas, TCU. Can you name one of those games that doesn't sound winnable? I mean, they all are. So especially with 3 of them coming into your house at Bramlage, you'd be feeling like it pretty much is a slam dunk lock. I mean, you obviously still have to go take care of business, but if you win this game tonight, more or less, the heavy lifting's done there. You just have to go not completely stub your toe, not go TCU 3-4 times in a row the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking.
Yeah, and you could even, and I don't think that fans want to look at it this way, and I know that the team doesn't want to look at it this way, but the way that the Big 12 has actually started to prove itself as the best conference in the country after all of that negative talk about it at the beginning, it's feasible that you could go 8-10, and then as long as you were able to win your first Big 12 tournament game, if it's against a top 50 opponent, you could still have an opportunity there as a 20-win team. I don't think K-State wants to put themselves in that position or essentially leave it up to the committee. They want to take care of that business themselves. But, again, a win tonight gets you a lot closer than maybe the math would just say of getting one game closer. No, this gets you more than one game closer if you're able to win it.
And I would have viewed, out of this 3-game stretch, honestly, the West Virginia game on the road as the most difficult of the stretch for K-State. I mean, playing Kansas at home speaks for itself. K-State has won 4 of the last 10 here in Bramlage. So, I mean, you're looking at the last decade of it basically being a 50-50 proposition. Bruce Weber's beaten him twice at home as well, so he's 50-50 here at Bramlage against him. I think because of all that, you make the case. And you hung with him in Allen. I mean, there's a lot of reason to believe that you could be in this game. And I just think that West Virginia's a tougher matchup than Baylor, plus the extracurricular stuff with Baylor coming off the win over Kansas. I think we felt like there was a better shot of them winning that game. So, yeah, I mean, I would say this game becomes a little more important because of that. I mean, you win this, you don't have to just play with complete house money against West Virginia. Not that you're playing with you're probably playing with house money tonight to an extent as well, but if you won this, then yeah, West Virginia, you could just go, you know, whatever. Just let it all fly.
I mean, we went into this 3-game stretch saying, okay, K-State, as long as you can get one of these, you keep your hopes.
Yes.
You're still above water at that point. You're keeping
it canceled
your head
out TCU.
Above water. It canceled out TCU. I would say that it canceled out
to
even
me, it
a little bit more than just TCU. But in any case, if you get 2 out of the 3, you're not just your head above water. I mean, you're basically in 2 feet of water and you're standing up at that point. You would have to really, again, stub your toe in a pretty big way, including losing at home to a Texas Tech or something like that to eliminate what beating Kansas would do for you.
But throw all that stuff aside, what they accomplished by beating Baylor was, look, they did something I didn't think they were capable of doing. I mean, I didn't think that, I mean, frankly, I didn't think that especially this team and the way the program's been going the last couple years, that they had it in them to go beat a top 5 team on the road. Say what you will about who Baylor is and Scott Drew and all that, but I mean, that was a hell of a win. And I would not have thought it possible for them to do that. So they proved something to me. They proved something, I think, to a lot of people who are just ready to completely jump ship. And we see the fine line of how close things can be because we're literally talking about one more Baylor basket, and I think everybody would be off the ship. You know, if they would have blown that game, and I responded to the tweet earlier, like I still give them all the credit in the world, even though the second half was really bad offensively, and they were just hanging by a thread. They made plays to win the game. They made winning plays down the stretch to win the game. So I give him credit for that. But had you had another close loss there on the heels of the TCU game, now with Kansas and West Virginia rolling up, we would be looking at this totally differently. But they didn't. And I think it is important to criticize them when criticism is due, like when you lose at home to TCU, but come right back and pat them on the back and say, hey, you proved something to a lot of people by going and winning a game like that.
The way that second half developed was pretty similar to me to what happened in Ames with Iowa State blowing that lead to K-State. And it's the shoes are on the other foot in this case, but Iowa State had that terrible half of basketball in the second half, and they only made 8 field goals. They were really bad, but they made big plays when they needed to, and they let K-State make a couple of big mistakes that cost them the chance to finally get over the hump in that game. Down the stretch in the Baylor game, Baylor made some really bizarre turnovers in the last few minutes, and K-State made some really big plays. Yes, they only had 8 field goals in the second half, but one of them was that huge Kamau Stokes jumper from the corner as the shot clock expired. DJ Johnson had an excellent putback dunk that stretched the lead, I believe, from 1-3 in the last couple minutes as well. And you made a couple stops on the defensive end. And if you can have a bad 20 minutes of basketball but still make those big plays in the last 90 seconds, 120 seconds, that's enough for me, especially when you're going against the number one RPI team in the country.
416 turnovers on Baylor, held them under 39% shooting. Manu LeCompte was really shut down by Barry Brown for a good portion of that game. I mean, the defense was really good. And if this team can hang their hat on defense the rest of the year, I think we're all going to be fine with it. And if they are bad for a half, but their good half is good enough to keep winning games like this, no one's going to complain. Al Davis said, just win, baby. I mean, throw up that W. That's the name of the game. That's what it's all about. Like, I always reference back because I was such a Frank Martin fan to Frank Martin winning a lot of road games like that. He had his last year. They went and won at Missouri and at Baylor, which were both top 10 road wins. And those were not always pretty at all. I mean, the way the K-State won games back then was not pretty, but no one cared. You know, no one cared how pretty it looked. Just win the game. If they keep winning top 5 road games, I don't care how bad their second half is.
And I know that some of the frustration from the fans comes from the fact that they could be very easily a lock for the NCAA tournament right now. If you had closed out the TCU game and, let's say, either the Maryland game or the Texas Tech game, just throwing two of those out there, if you got those two under your belt right now, you'd pretty much have to lose out to miss the NCAA tournament. You would be sitting in the top 20 in the country, first of all, I think, in the rankings. And so I can understand where the frustration comes, because you let those things get away from you and you're not in a real secure, real certain position right now with the NCAA tournament. But the numbers speak for themselves. Not since 94 has K-State managed to do what they did in Waco.
Right. Like, if you want to look at the entire season and say, hey, this team's maddening the way that they've been up and down like that, and how they've left a lot of games out there that were so close, hey, totally acceptable. Be frustrated with that. But that doesn't mean you don't celebrate and give them credit for winning the game in Waco. Like, those are two completely separate things. And don't get me wrong. I mean, the first thing I tweeted about the game was when they jumped up. I think it was even just like 17-10. It was still fairly early before they had totally buried Baylor in the first half. I just said, this is infuriating to watch them play this well after playing as poorly as they did for chunks of the TCU game and losing that TCU game. It is. It is. But they got you a big win. And they have restored a little bit of confidence, I would say, in what this team is. We'll be joined later on this hour by Marlins man, scheduled to anyway at 5:40, who's going to be in attendance, Bramlage, tonight. But when we come back, Brian Haney, voice of the Jayhawks, on with us. How much has the off-the-court stuff weighed on Kansas heading into this game, and how much will it affect him? We'll find out here on Wildcat Insider.